special edition of the Hayes Advantage, broadcasting live from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Jim Bullard, the president of the bank, that means he's one of the nation's leading policymakers, will be joining us at 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central. He's going to be speaking to us for an entire hour about current Fed policy. There's a lot of criticism right now, and Jim is really one of the biggest proponents of what the Fed is doing. He's one who has pushed for it, just says you need to make it transparent, you need to make it systematic. We're very much looking forward to that. And to help us get ready for that and get a better sense of the research that is done at the St. Louis Fed and what gives it its special intellectual character, its policy character, Chris Waller is the director of research. And Chris, we were talking about this move towards quantitative easing and how you and Jim, one of your goals is to make monetary policy less sort of ad hoc. Let's gauge the economy and decide what we're going to do and try to apply models. So when you guys have been thinking about the need for quantitative easing, particularly since the worst of the financial crisis, when we are back in some kind of recovery, what has been your framework to think about why or how we need more?
Right. So the tricky thing is that typical monetary policy involves moving the federal funds rate around. And we have various models for how that adjustment should be done. We're now in this environment where we're at what we call the zero lower bound. And while there's been a lot of discussion about this problem that you can't do standard monetary policy when you're at the zero lower bound, you have to resort to other things. That creates a lot of confusion, uncertainty for people. And one of the issues we've tried to argue is that quantitative easing is really no different than we normally do. When we lower interest rates, we buy government treasuries, and that pushes down interest rates and tries to stimulate the economy. When we buy assets now, we do exactly the same thing. It's just that it doesn't work through the typical optics of lowering the Fed funds rate.
So tell us about the importance of the balance sheet. Because we know when the Fed is manipulating that key short-term rate, the funds rate, it does open market operations.
Correct.
With repo operations, they're very short-term. Everybody knows they're going to roll over and over. It's done with Treasury bills, right?
Correct.
Now the Fed is purchasing long-term bonds, right?
Correct.
5 years, 7 years, 10 years, maybe, and even some 30-year bonds. The balance sheet is, you know, around $2 trillion and moving higher. So, and that is the concern. We should not be concerned about this balance sheet that is now full of bonds that they can't just roll over quickly. If the Fed holds these, they're going to hold them for a long, long time till they mature. It seems like a step into a different realm. If it wasn't, why hasn't the Fed always done it?
Right. So the key thing that scares people is they're afraid their balance sheet's going to be permanently higher. Some of my own research that's coming out shows that you can do these things temporarily for some period of time and not have any inflationary consequences as long as there's credibility that you will withdraw this at some future date that's not too far out in the future. And within those environments, you can put in this kind of cash, have real effects on the economy that you're trying to have, and yet at the same time, you don't get these bursts of inflation because there's credibility that you'll take it out. So the critical thing is the general public's faith that we will unwind our balance sheet at the appropriate time. And that's what we're hoping is going to keep inflation under control.
Wow. So there's a lot riding in on the credibility the Fed has already built up.
Correct.
So is it important right now then for the Fed Reserve to see that the economy remains weak? I mean, is that where the credibility starts getting iffy if the economy is picking up and the Fed's still doing quantitative easing? How, as someone who's trying to make a model,
right,
and trying to gauge this, how do you model that? How do you model what's going to enhance or hurt your credibility?
Right. So the key thing for the last 30 years is we've been building our credibility and bringing inflation down from 13% in 1980 and slowly bringing it down, not letting it get back out of control. And quite paradoxically, we're in a position where inflation's actually too low from where the FOMC would like it. I mean, it's a very unusual situation we haven't faced in 30 years. We've got 30 years of thinking that we have to fight inflation, get it down. And now we're in a position where maybe it's a little too low, and if it keeps going down, we're in this fear of deflation, which can have some problems, particularly when you have a lot of nominal rigidities in contracts and wages and things like that. So it's in this weird environment that we're below our kind of implicit inflation target of around 2%. And Jim's argued that if you're going to be serious about your kind of implicit inflation target, if you're too low, there's nothing wrong with letting it come back up a little bit. You don't want to overshoot it, of course, and no one that I've heard of in discussions has said, no, we're going to let inflation go up to 4, 5, 6% because that's a good thing. But it's a very strange environment to say, you know, an extra half a percent of inflation or percentage point is not that bad.
So when you talk about these rigidities, let's be very clear that you're basically saying that if we have deflation, that we'll have people who maybe not only are not getting wage increases, but might be getting wage cuts or taking, when they get new jobs, taking them at lower wages, but you might still have a mortgage, right? Or if you're a small business person, something, a loan from a bank that is fixed and it doesn't come down.
Correct.
So there becomes a bigger and bigger gap between the money you're bringing in and the money you have to break out, pay out. And that's the danger of inflation.
Right. So your mortgage is in what we would say nominal dollars and it doesn't come down. So when prices fall, the real value of that debt is going up. And if you're taking potentially wage cuts or, you know, just having difficulty getting other sorts of fixed income, it becomes very hard to service this debt burden. And that's in fact what the potential problem is. If these things could be pushed down, then the debt burden doesn't necessarily go up.
But they can't. But is there any, are you done any work about to the extent that deflation saves me some money? Because if something is deflating, I can buy it more cheaply to the extent that offsets payments I have to make that are fixed?
Well, there's a lot of very good monetary theoretical models that say that the optimal rate of inflation is about -2 or 3%, that they should have deflation. Now, that seems to scare people because of all these nominal rigidities. So in a world where there was no nominal rigidities, where contract could be adjusted down, wages could be adjusted down with the decline in prices, you wouldn't have any problems with this. But the minute you have these rigidities, then these drops in prices generate huge costs. I think that's the more thing. If the prices fall, then wages, in fact, have to come down. Because if they don't, real wages, the wage that we pay you versus what it buys, goes up, and firms typically lay off workers at that point. So the real wage increase would be a big problem.
Okay. Well, Chris Waller, thanks for joining us, getting us set up, helping to understand, I think, better the framework that the St. Louis Fed, led by you in the Director of Research, Jim Bowler, the President, are working in as you look at this Fed question, the Fed quantitative easing.
Thank you, Catherine.
This portion of the Hays Advantage brought to you by Prestige Land Rover, the world's largest volume Land Rover dealer. So, as I said earlier in the show, we are broadcasting live the entire show from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, looking over the Mississippi River. Jim Bowler, president of the St. Louis Fed, has agreed to join us for an entire hour. That's coming up next here on the Hays Advantage on Bloomberg Radio.